I started teaching through the week, 5 days a week, 5-minute teachings on supernatural love. How many have seen some of those? Anybody seen those? I'm getting some good response back on those. And in doing so, in the studies, I study before each one. It's funny, I do several at a time usually. It took me like 20 takes to do the first one. Like recorded and uploaded. Nope, don't like that. Nope, don't like that. I get 10 seconds. No, I didn't mean to say that. Please. I said it wrong. But I got where I was doing several at a time. So every time I finish one, I go change my clothes, my shirt, maybe pull my hat, move my desk around so it's pointing at something different so I can do 5 in a row with like 5 different days, right? What's that? Is that Dutch does?
Yeah. Funny.
We think alike, I guess. But in teaching on love, because I'm studying between each one, making notes and everything, because I don't want it to come across as guessing. I've run across some revelation I didn't put in my book. And I thought I'd share something on that this morning. Because I think it's neat about the love of God. How many believe that we're to walk in the love of God, right?
Yeah.
Owe no man anything but to love one another. Right? Love fulfills all the commandments, all the law. And look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, to me, 1 Timothy chapter 1 is the most important verse on love in the entire Bible. Verse 5, actually, chapter 1, verse 5. And this is now the end of the commandment. Is love out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. And, starting off, this is the end of the commandment. It means all God's intention for our life. The totality of His purpose for us is to walk in love. Everything He assigns us to do is centered around walking in love. Everything He assigns us to become is centered on us manifesting love. And I believe all the fruit, all the gifts, all the power are manifestations of the love of God. God is love.
Amen.
Now again, I think this is on this next Wednesday's program. When I was first saved and got to teach on love, I thought, I'm a man. That's for ladies. It's for women. How many of you guys have felt that before? Love was for the women, right? We're men. And, I walk in love, it's just different. And so God called me on that. He showed me where it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, God is agape. Verse 7, 8, God is love. Then He showed me the word that said we're made in His image. And we're to walk in the fullness of the stature of the image of Christ. That Jesus was a reflection of the fullness of the Father Himself.
Yeah.
And so if God is love, and He made me in His image, and I'm going to walk in that, then apparently I should be walking in love. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
If it's Him and He made me like that, I need to walk in it. And if I'm doing anything contrary, I'm frustrating who God made me. Mm-hmm. I'm battling outwardly what God did to me internally. Amen. Yeah. So that's our goal, is to walk in love. And it's for every gender. Amen. And it's our assignment. It's our ultimate assignment. And people get focused more. Well, I just want to be a prophet, I don't want to do miracles. I want to heal the sick. Well, those are all manifestations of the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
But people can do it out of the wrong motive.
Yes.
You can seek miracle power and even walk in it and not walk in love. Maybe you're motivated out of being seen. Mm-hmm. You follow me? You're wanting people's approval. But God said everything is to flow out of His supernatural love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so He gives us three pieces: a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. And feigned means fake. So it means genuine faith.
Yeah.
not just acting like it, you really believe. Mm-hmm. And so he gave us in this verse what I call God's recipe for agape. Three things we do to walk in love. How many want to walk in love? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you how the average Christian tries to do it. They say, well, I'm just going to try to be nice. I'll be a nice person. You follow me? I'll try not to cuss anybody out today. You know, I'll try to be considerate. I won't, you know, try not to run anybody off the road on my way to work today. And the truth is, anybody can do that. The wicked can try to be nice. We've named buildings and bridges after people that were unsaved, full of the devil, but did some good deeds. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 4. I need to lay some groundwork out here. 1 John chapter 4. It says, beloved, let us love one another. For he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is agape, love, charity. Whichever version you have. So it says here, the only way you can walk in the full love of God is to be born of God. Are you with me? Chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. You've got to be born of God. You've got to be born again. Which means the love we're talking about is not available to the heathen, to the unsaved. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Don't have a wall up here, do we?
Yeah.
The love we're talking about is only available to those who are saved. Therefore, for us to walk in the love of God as a Christian must be more than just trying to be nice, because again, anybody can do that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
We are aware that nobody through their good works are going to heaven.
That's right. Yes.
Right. You can't do enough good works to go to heaven. You must be born again.
Amen.
Right? And so love's only available to the born again person. So we got to go beyond in our mindset of love of just trying to be a sweet person. Amen.
Amen.
But the question arises, how do we go beyond?
I didn't understand that.
Well, let me explain it again. Give me a repeat.
Siri didn't understand.
If the microphone or if the recording, you can pick it up. Somebody's phone says, I didn't understand that. So we have to explain it for the computer.
They can't comprehend it. The
question arises, how do we do it? That was the question I asked over 30 years ago. God, if it's more than just being nice, if I've got to be born again, what do I do to manifest your love? Has anybody asked that question? You bought my book when you did, right? And here we have what I call God's recipe for agape. How we can tap into the love of God that is beyond human ability to produce by itself.
Amen.
You follow me?
Yes.
And there's three ingredients. Any cooks in here? Yes. Any recipes you have that are three ingredients?
Yes.
Very few.
I know Peggy's are. She has 12 spices to everything she cooks.
No way, cookies.
Which I might say is one more than Colonel Sanders used. He had 11 herbs and spices, right?
Yeah.
And so, three ingredients. The first ingredient is a pure heart. Now, we already read it says, if you're going to walk in love, you must be born of God.
Yeah.
You must be born again. And that's what a pure heart is. Ingredient number one is the easiest one to obtain. You follow me? The impossible one to obtain without being saved. And when you get saved, God comes inside of you. He pulls out the heart of stone and puts you in you a heart of love. You follow me? God changes your very nature. You used to be self-centered. It used to be all about you, but you make Jesus not just your Savior, but your Lord. He comes in and changes who you are and your entire motivation for living shifts. What was important to you before is no longer important in many cases. And God changes your priorities in life. Amen. So we understand when you're born again, you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now here's something I didn't see before. The first ingredient here takes place in the third heaven. How many know you're a three-part being? The real you is a spirit. That's the part of you that is born again righteous, that is made pure, that's recreated in love. God changes your nature from sinner to saint, and all of a sudden now you have love on the inside of you. Yeah. But all of that takes place in the third heaven. Do you follow me? I've met some genuinely born again Christians who are mean, selfish, acted that way anyway, inconsiderate, rude.
Yes.
Some have been to this church before. None of you guys, but in the past I've had people come in that were rude. And they're born again. How is that possible? Because the born again experience takes place in the third heaven. To walk in love, you've got to get it out to the first heaven. The third heaven is where the throne of God is. The first heaven is the natural universe we live in. It's the world around us. And the second heaven involves our mind, will, and emotion. It's the realm of the soul.
Yes.
I've taught them this many times. I don't have time to go into it now. But heavens are not stacked like tradition has been taught. You know, earth is the first heaven, outer space the second heaven, God's throne is way beyond the third heaven. No, it's dimensional stacked.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
And so, the soul is the second heaven. Now again, when you're born again, God births love in you in your third heaven facility. You're a three-part being. You have access, or you have, how can I say, interaction in all three heavens. Your spirit man is hearing from the Spirit of God. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Interaction. You have senses in the third heaven. Right?
Right.
You can hear God. You can see vision. You may, I've heard people almost smelling things in heaven.
Yeah.
There are spiritual senses you have. And you leave this body, you will carry those senses with you. Right? And I believe they're probably parallel the five senses you have in the first heaven right now. In the first heaven, you have senses. You interact with the first heaven. And see, the real you is spirit. It's in the third heaven. But God gave you a connected first heaven body that you can see, hear, feel, you know, smell, taste the stuff around you. If you didn't have those senses, you'd be oblivious if there was a first heaven. Are you aware of that? If you didn't have those five senses, you'd be oblivious to what's in the first heaven going on around you.
Yeah.
But God gave us those to interact with this created realm. And then as well, you have a second heaven facility, your soul, which interacts with the second heaven. And in the second heaven, you can pick up in your emotions. Those are your primary senses of the second heaven, what spirits are in the room. You can walk in a room and feel strife. In fact, somebody can come in a room and start an argument and you'll get caught up in it. Because, not us, but traditionally, you follow me, normal people. Your soul gets pulled into that atmosphere. You can get caught up in hate. You see riots taking place. There was one in Chicago, I think, with 500 people in it last night or something like that. People being shot, beaten. What happens, there's a spirit of riot or rage that hits the atmosphere and people react to it.
Yeah.
En masse. And so your emotions are able to pick up what's going on in the second heaven around you. You know what they're designed to do? They're designed to pick up the love of God. I'm going to get this yet. Hang on just a minute. Now you stay. There we go. Our emotions pick up the atmosphere around us, what's going on. Amen. You can hear in the second heaven. Amen. Anybody ever hear the devil speak to you?
Yeah.
That's in the second heaven. It's from a thought and emotion. And we as triune beings, three in one have access to all three heavens to sense what's going on and even make change. Amen. I win. So when you're born again, God bursts love through you in the third heaven realm within you. The second ingredient, it says, is a good conscience. How do you get a good conscience? You find out what happened to you when you were born again. How many were saved for years before you found out you were the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Probably most of us.
Yes.
See, for years I was saved in love with Jesus, doing everything I could to follow Him, to serve Him, to be a blessing. Yet I fought condemnation all the time.
Amen.
Why? Because the preacher told me I was just still a sinner. All my efforts were just filthy rags. Right? I was a worm. I'm always coming up short of the glory. Oh, did you have a bad thought today? Hopefully God didn't wipe your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I listened to that. That was what people were teaching. Until after 10 years, I found out I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 30 years ago. After 11 years. Found out I was made righteous. And that God's birthed love in me, and I'm no longer a sinner, I'm now a saint. And as I spent time meditating that, spent time studying in the Word, it birthed in me a good conscience. Amen. I could walk shame-free even if I had a bad thought. I would cast down and realize it was from the devil anyway.
Yeah, yes.
I'm not accepting that. And it's a victory, not a defeat. So, a good conscience, for one, is when you realize you don't carry shame anymore. But it goes beyond that. A good conscience refers to all your thoughts. That you've actually taken the Word and purified your thinking, that you now think in alignment with the Word.
Amen.
And follow me on a few statements here. Scripture makes it clear that Jesus was the Word made flesh. In fact, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Right? And so, this book, this Bible, is actually Jesus in print form.
Amen.
I consider it the DNA code. You know how they write out a DNA code? It's the DNA code of Jesus. Which means it's the DNA code of love, because He is love.
Yeah.
Right? And if I can get in this book and get this book to change how I think, it has the power to reprogram our thinking, to renew our minds. Right? Be transformed by the renewing of your minds, by the Word of God. It has the ability supernaturally to change your thinking, to reprogram your soul to think in alignment with the code in the book, which is love. A good conscience is a result of love now flooding your second heaven facility. Do you follow me? Now you think in terms of love. Look at Galatians chapter 5. You got it? We were here last week, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Here it lists the fruit of the Spirit. Right? The fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit can be natural or supernatural. Here's what I want to get to this morning. You start off, you get born again, God floods your second heaven spirit man. You spend time with the Word, you renew your mind to the Word, it enables love to come from your spirit to your soul. Now you think in terms of love, you can release actions of love. And we mentioned this before when we were talking about entering into God's rest, having peace, is once I found out I was made righteous, once I found out God wasn't ready to throw me into hell, Once I realized I had open access to God at any time, 24/7, I had peace.
Yes.
In my mind.
Amen.
Do you follow me? Now, it wasn't anything supernatural other than the Lord changing my thinking, but it was a result of my mind being reprogrammed. I had peace within.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, what I want to talk about, Holy Spirit, help me bring this out. There's a natural peace you can have from just a revelation.
Yes.
Once I found out I was going to heaven when I die, where there was fear, now there's joy.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Once I recognized that God's promises are yes and amen, faith resulted, it's a fruit. I had faith. Once I recognized that God's forgiven my sin, of which there were many, and He still continues to forgive,
yes.
I can have patience, long-suffering. And the revelation of these in my soul caused me to act outwardly different towards other people.
Mm-hmm.
See, if I have patience, mm-hmm. I can smile at people instead of cuss them out.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Do you follow me?
Yes.
If I have joy, I will smile outwardly, even be nice to people. Because I've been delivered from the fear of death. Right?
Yes.
I've been delivered from worried about people. If people, I can witness to people because I'm no longer afraid of being rejected.
Right.
The Bible says I'm accepted in the beloved. Why am I worried about what some heathen's going to say?
Right.
Well, they may not be happy that you're witnessing to them. Well, they're going to be unhappy when they go to hell.
Yes.
What difference am I going to make? Other than hopefully get them into heaven.
That's right.
And so, what happens is when love starts to flood your second heaven soul facility, now you act differently toward those without. You follow me? You'll even become a giver. You want to bless people. And the church is full of people that are a blessing. Right? How many of you go through your week blessing people through the week? A lot of times, whether you can get anything back from them or not.
Yeah.
Bless strangers. Well, let me buy that for you. Let me give that for you. Give that to you. Whatever, you know, to be a blessing. Why? Because your mind has been changed. That you're no longer in fear of lack. You're no longer in fear of rejection. Love has flooded your second heaven facility, and now you act different in the first heaven. See, the changes that take place in your mind are reflected through how you act outwardly through the flesh. And the fruit of the Spirit mentioned here can be a natural result. Joy is in your mind. You smile outwardly. You follow me? Peace within your thinking. You sleep. I'm guessing, I don't think it ever really bothered me, but I'm guessing in the church there were some people that used to be worriers. Anybody here used to be a worrier? I mean, whatever I worry about, then I worry about that. Patty's mother was the expert on it. Worried about everything. And I say, Shirley, quit worrying. It's a mother's prerogative to worry about her kids. I said, where's that in the Bible? That didn't help. But guess what? Once you got saved and found out, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You quit worrying. You can sleep. Amen. The Word, the love of God, reprogramming your thinking lets you live outwardly different. But it may manifest as what looks like a natural result. It's from a supernatural force in the second heaven producing a different natural result in the first heaven. Did you follow me? So ingredient number one is a pure heart. That manifests in the third heaven. Ingredient number two is a renewed mind, a good conscience. that manifests in the second heaven, but it has first heaven expression. But God's called us to function in a supernatural agape. And he says there's a third ingredient, which is genuine faith. Let me talk about faith for just a minute. Faith is the only tool that God gave us to reach into the promises of the third heaven and bring results into the first heaven. You need divine healing? By faith, you can speak the word, stand and reach into the third heaven and bring health into your life in the first heaven. You operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, you're prophesying or you're doing miracles or whatever it might be. You're reaching with that gift into the third heaven by faith and bringing results into the first heaven where you're ministering. Even the power of God to multiply your seed. By faith is a third heaven result manifested in the first heaven, natural realm. You follow me?
Yes.
And every one of these fruit of the Spirit has a corresponding natural to supernatural result. Let me explain this. See, God's plan is now that you've got a pure heart, you manifest love in the third heaven, you've worked to produce a good conscience, which is love manifested in the second heaven. Now he wants to bring love outwardly into the first heaven in a supernatural fashion. So there is a supernatural joy.
Yes.
If you've ever been to a Rodney Howard Brown meeting, I haven't seen him lately, but it used to be you go in and he'd be speaking very dryly. No energy content, it seemed at all. And people start chuckling, giggling, then laughing, then belly laughing, then on the floor can't move, paralyzed in joy. God anointed him with a gift of joy. And he'd stand over somebody, and he'd go, just let it bubble out of your belly. And they would be bouncing on the floor, laughing so hard. He'd lay hands on their stomach. Come on, come up, come up, come up. Let it bubble, let it bubble. And if you haven't seen those, I recommend go look at some videos. I've been in his meetings, it's real. I've been under the influence of it. And I've shared that before when we showed one of his videos in my house with Apostle Callahan. Kathy Easter goes to the restroom, and the next thing you know, she's in there 45 minutes, can't get off the floor because she's laughing so hard. There's a genuine supernatural joy.
Yes, there is.
That you can walk in no matter what's going on around you. And again, I could go into some detail about that Rodney Howard Brown meeting we were in, where it hit the whole place. We had to carry Pastor Lee and somebody else to the car.
I think it was Philip, wasn't it?
Might have been Philip, I don't know. We had to carry them to the car. They couldn't move, paralyzed by joy. The second fruit of the Spirit says is peace. There's a supernatural peace.
Yes. Amen.
There's an anointing of peace that can come on you.
Yes.
That before you were troubled, you were worrisome, you were fearful. All of a sudden, that's not like you're tranquilized. We were talking about this in some length in past teachings. That the world has its own drugs for results. God's got anointings.
Yeah.
And you go walk in a peace that passes knowledge. And it's not just because you realize that God loves you. It's because there's a supernatural force on you that's got you drunk in the Holy Ghost. That'd be part of joy, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That you're virtually in that don't mess with me zone with God. What happened? Peace came out of the second heaven and the first heaven, and it's all around you.
Yes.
And you can transfer it. You can speak it over people. You can lay hands on people and they can receive it. Let them have peace.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Love going from the third to the second to the first heaven. In a supernatural fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Patience or long suffering. There's a count of 10 patience. That's the world. There's a patience from the word renewing your mind that you realize God's been patient with you. You might as well be patient toward other people.
Yes.
And anyway, God's got it anyway.
Yeah.
Sometimes I take joy. I shouldn't say joy. I have peace knowing that people that have wronged me or that are evil in the world, God's got this. He's going to deal with it one way or another.
Amen.
Either now or in the hereafter.
Yes.
God's got it.
Yes.
And I take some level of peace knowing I don't fret over that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
So there's a natural peace knowing that God's got the situation under control and His Word is going to come to pass.
Yes.
His promises are yes, yes and amen. I have peace. I have peace over this building. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to sweat. I'm not going to worry. God, You got this. Just guide us the way we're to go.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And so, there's a peace that's natural, but there's a peace that's supernatural. That it just overtakes you. I memorized this passage in several different translations. So I got to look at the King James to see which word they use. Gentleness, goodness, faith. All of these have results realizing I need to be nice, but there's also anointings that manifest as each of these. There's even a gift of faith that when the gift hits you, it's supernatural. You believe way beyond your normal faith level.
Yes.
I remember the first time I remember this hitting me. Again, this would have been 30 years ago. A lady come up to me and she said, God told me to have you pray for me. I was his sister, Pastor Tom, but I need a healing. God said that you'd pray for me and I'd be healed. And I said, what's going on? She says, I have diabetes. And I went to pray for her and the gift of faith hit me and I knew she'd be healed. I knew it. I laid hands on her and declared her healed. And she came back and says, I have no diabetes anymore. It's totally gone. Well, praise be to God. That was beyond my expectation of a natural mind, even renewed by the word that she'd be healed. I knew it was going to happen.
Yes.
Amen.
The gift of faith is supernatural. And so all of these fruit that are described here can have a natural, how can I say, manifestation from a supernatural mindset in the second heaven, a good conscience. But they'll have a supernatural component once love goes from the second heaven to the first, that you're walking in the anointings. But here's another part of it. For us, how many want to walk in love?
Amen.
It says we got to have faith. So the question arises, faith in what? I mean, it's one thing to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but I want the anointing of love on me so heavy, it comes in as the glory.
Yes.
I want to walk in the love of God on me all the time that I can't even hardly function in the natural because I've been there and it's phenomenal.
Amen.
I want to live there.
Yep.
I'm going to live there in Jesus' name. How do we do it? What do we have to have faith in? Faith in. Say, Pastor Jack, we try to get Pastor Jack.
Pastor Jack.
What do I need to have faith in?
What do I need to have faith in?
You need to have faith that you can walk in supernatural love.
Yeah.
And most Christians don't because they don't know it exists. They're confused trying to be nice. Letting their inward nature have some outward expression, just trying to be benevolent, considerate. And they not use their faith because it says faith. Understand, faith is intentional. And if you want love to move in your life, you've got to intentionally say, I believe for love in my life.
Amen.
And confess the word. Mm-hmm. And here's the passage I've confessed for over 30 years. I believe God gave it to me. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. I recommend you get this verse in you and speak it every day over yourself. If you want love, if you want the glory, I believe this is a key aspect. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you're submitting yourself to God. I bow my knees. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. I mean, I want the glory.
Yes.
To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. that Christ, listen, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now we could put in here that the Word may dwell in your heart by faith. But really the Word fills your second heaven facility, your mind. You could put in there that love may dwell in your hearts by faith. Because they're all the same as Christ, right? And recognize Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's a word that reflects His anointing. The power that He carried. That the power of God may fill your hearts, dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. It's a covenant thing. It's a body of Christ thing. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now in Him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him glory in the church. There's our glory again. Starts with glory, ends with glory. By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It says we are rooted and grounded in love. And you need to confess it over your life. And I comprehend together with all saints what is the width, breadth, depth, and height. And I know the love of Christ is past knowledge. Speak it over yourself. That's what faith does. Let me ask you a question. Some of you came out of denominational backgrounds. Maybe grew up in it. How many people did you see walking in divine health in those buildings that didn't confess it?
None.
You see anybody walking in supernatural health without targeting it by faith? When I heard about divine healing, I made it a target. I believe I won't have to ever be sick another day of my life.
Amen.
And I speak it over my body every day. Right?
Amen.
Speak it over my heart, my brains, my organs, my mind. I will never have any, how can I say, memory issues.
Amen.
And because you speak it and you act on it, you get to tap into it.
Yes.
Repeat after me. This doesn't happen,
accidentally.
It's intentional.
It's intentional.
Does anybody believe that?
Yes.
But why do we think love's going to happen all of a sudden? When it says it takes place by faith, why do we think it's going to happen? Just through osmosis. Well, I went to church. Now I walk in love. It doesn't work like that with healing. The church we used to go to, where I heard about healing the first time, Apostle Callahan was the pastor. He was Pastor Callahan at the time. And he's teaching radical faith. Divine healing, divine health. I mean teaching it. There's 1,300 people in that church attending services. Only a handful got a hold of it and said, I'm going to do that. A bunch of them said, we don't like this. We don't believe this faith stuff. Get him out of here. They didn't tap into it. But the ones that got a hold of it had been walking in it. You don't get it just because you went to the church that's speaking it.
No.
Get it because you make it an assignment for yourself in your own time.
Yeah.
To speak it. To act on it. Karen's been testifying about this. Mm-hmm. Well, not just her kidneys, her whole physical body. God's doing a makeover. She's speaking the word every day.
Yes.
I mean, she's demanding, be sure you pray us out.
Yes.
With words of healing and prosperity and, you know, all the rest of it.
Yes.
Why? Because part of the word says death and life is in the power of what we say.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
And if you want supernatural love, you got to speak it.
Yes.
Now, we've talked about if you want to walk in faith. I've talked about 5 steps. I'm not going to quiz you today because I don't want to embarrass you. But we've talked about 5 steps to walk in faith. Revelation, meditation, application or activation, manifestation, and restoration. Right? But step 3 is the main one, is application or activation, and it has 3 steps of its own. Anybody remember those 3 steps?
Speak and stand.
Speak, act, stand. You speak what the Word says. You act like you believe it's true, and you stand until you see it manifest. Amen. So I believe I'm healed. I'm going to speak it. Then I'm going to act contrary to symptoms, and I'm going to stand until I see the healing manifest.
Yeah.
Right? You can do it with lack. You can do it with any promise of God. But how do we do it with love? Step one is speak. We're doing a very compressed synopsis of how to walk in love this morning. Just the main points. You follow me?
Yeah.
For the rest of it, get my book. That I need to rewrite and add some stuff too. Anyway, speak love. Speak Ephesians 3, 14 through 20 over your life. Memorize it. Memorize at least 17 through 20. Speak it over your life. Christ dwells in my heart by faith. Right?
Yeah.
And then act on it. How do you act on it? Well, one, be benevolent. Act like you love people, even if you don't. You want to hear, would you like to hear the secret to a verse of scripture that's tripped many people up in the past? You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Jesus said, bless your enemies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bless those that persecute and revile you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why? I don't like them. Because you're taking an action of love even though you don't like them. You're taking a faith action, a faith activating step to release love in your life. And you got to get to the place you value love on you more than you do your the level you're upset with them.
Yeah.
You want love so much you'll bless your enemies. And that's, I believe that's what Jesus was talking about.
Yeah.
You got to want this kingdom.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. But here's how we act primarily on love. If you want, anybody want it? Raise your hand if you want love.
Yes.
Here's how you do it. What would you say is the most famous verse in the Bible? When they showed all the football games?
John
3:16. What's it say? God so loved the world, He gave His best seed.
That's right.
Not some, you know, angel with a broken sword or a, you know, missing a wing. All that angel could do is flutter circles one wing. Like the spider I cut up in the dishwasher that time. I've shared this before, but a few years back, Patty opens the dishwasher, and there's the biggest wolf spider you ever saw in the dishwasher. And kill it. Well, I grab a pair of scissors. I'm going to cut it too, you know. Because you can't grab it its way back in there. You know, it's running around. And it gets around the center post there. And I pull all the rack stage down in there. And I'm trying to cut him with a scissor. All I can do is cut off legs. And I cut off all the legs on one side, and he's doing like this.
I was feeling sorry for a spider.
It's still hot water.
I'm sure there are other things I could do, but I thought surely this would get him. I did finally get him. When he couldn't run away, hey, I got him.
Cutting the legs off the spider.
Anyway, God so loved the world, He gave His best seed.
Yes.
The act of faith for the love of God has become a seed. You live your life as a giver, a sower. God so loved, His action was He gave. If you want to walk in love, give.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't have to always be money. You can give stuff. You can give acts of vegetables. Praise God. You can give acts of service. In fact, Gary Chapman wrote the book, The Five Love Languages. Depending on how God wires you to release love, you can release love in different fashions. How many have read The Five Love Languages? It's a really good book. Some people walk in love through physical touch, some through acts of service, some through giving, some with words of affirmation, and what's the other one? Anyway, five reflections of love through different personalities.
Quality time.
Quality time. quality time. And so you become a seed. You're releasing actions of love around you. And if you want to become those walking love, you got to become a sower. In other words, you live to give more than to possess. And what's funny is God set up the system, the more you give, the more you get. He gives seed to the sower. Bread to the eater multiplies our seed some. And the more you give away, the more comes back into your life.
Enjoy.
I've had that manifest interesting lately. I've shared it. But I used to make deer jerky quite a bit. And so I end up with a dehydrator. I don't remember how I got it. Probably in a garage sale. I don't know. Got a dehydrator. One of these round plastic ones. Did fine. Take about 2 days to make your jerky, I guess. How long does it take to make jerky? A couple days? And had the meat grinder and all this stuff. And I quit making jerky and I sold that one. I found another one. I think at a garage sale or a Goodwill or something. It's like $5 I bought it. Somebody says, I'm looking for dehydrator. I gave it away. Then some more came to me. I've now given away 5 dehydrators. Hey, you got 3 of them.
I think it might have been six.
They just keep coming back. I was in the attic the other day and ran across 2 more and forgot I had. They're piggies now. Dehydrators keep coming. And about a month ago, my daughter calls me and says, Dad, I'm going to garage sale. They've got a dehydrator here for $10. Looks nice. You want it? She sent me a picture. It's brand new, never been used.
Wow.
$270 dehydrator.
Wow.
I said, yes! So for $10, I got basically the best dehydrator on the market.
Wow.
And it makes jerky in a matter of hours.
Wow.
I've been drying peppers with it, making jerky, whatever I can make to throw in there. Just because it's fun. I mean, it has all these controls and settings on it. And I dried a whole bunch of habaneros, and you can smell it in the air. Don't get your face over the vent. And I know that sounds simple, but it's the power of seed. Somebody came to Jerry Seville years ago. Heard him share the story. And this is Jerry, I don't believe what you're teaching. I don't believe in that seed time harvest stuff. He said, my mother served God all of her life. And she died. I mean, she was just a blessing. She died without anything. I don't believe that. So Jerry said, well, sir. Oh, he threw in. He said, not only that, she was always making blankets for people. She knitted. She made afghans, all this stuff for the people. So Jerry said, sir, did anybody ever bring your mother any afghans or any of that stuff? Yeah, she was swamped with it. People were always bringing that stuff to her. He said, so your mother gave away knitted stuff. It came to her, multiplied back, and the guy saw it.
Yeah.
It's not just that you sow, it's what you sow.
Right.
Seed produces after itself.
Yeah.
And if we want love in our life, then the reflection of love is to act as a seed, act in acts of service, benevolence, giving. God's the love that He gave. Do that. And then speak it and stand until love comes on your life. And it will. It'll overtake your life. And God's raised up an end time church that walks in this, that flows in it, that targets it. And I challenge you. We have a covenant church. There's no strife in here. There's no backbiting, envy, jealousy. There's no competing for positions or attention. There's not. But there's another step we could take, and that's to manifest supernatural glory and love. But you got to target it. We don't want a church like the 1300 that only a handful did it. I challenge each of you to write down this verse. Write it on a card and carry it with you. Start speaking over your life and target being a blessing. Watch what God does. So here's the point I want to make that I had not seen before. That's that when you're born again, love manifests in the third heaven. When you renew your conscience, it's applied to the second heaven. And when you walk in the power of love, it manifests in the first heaven. All three heavens, God wants permeated with love. And as you stay in love, it overflows all three heavens and it manifests as the supernatural Shekinah glory of God.
Yeah.
And it's coming on the end time bride church. And here's the differentiating factor. Not every Christian is part of the bride. The bride manifests the love and glory of God because she's called the glorious bride.
Yeah.
It starts with speaking love and acting on it in our lives.
Yeah.
Did you get anything out of this?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for the ability, the right to function in your kingdom, to carry these anointings. And I speak this church experiences right now a release of supernatural agape love right now.
Yes.
That'll come on us. You got anointings of joy. You got anointings of peace. You got all these gifts of faith and other. I decree right now love comes on this body and stays upon us as long as we allow it. We go to another level this morning in this agape. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Just receive that right now. Say, that's me. I receive it. In fact, those not here this morning, let it touch them wherever they're at. I'm going to declare to this church there are none sick, none in pain, none in lack, none oppressed. In fact, love wipes all that out. None in fear. And there's no strife, of course. I thank you for this, for a church walking in covenant, walking in your glory, walking in your goodness, in Jesus' name.